How many of you just love your pastors and appreciate them? Yeah. Amen. God uses them to bless us. And oftentimes to the level of our honor and appreciation that we have for the people that God placed in our life, the authorities that God placed in our life, that's the level of blessing that God releases into our life. Oftentimes our honor and our appreciation is the bottleneck for the blessing of God in our life. So it's important to understand the hierarchy of God and how God funnels His blessing. The Bible says that the anointing comes on the head and then drips down on the body, right? And so honor your leaders, honor your mentors, honor those that God brings into your life, men of God and women of God, or the people that God brings into your life to coach you. And sometimes it's not necessarily a spiritual man or a person. Sometimes God brings a coach into your life to help you with your business. And to the level that you honor and respect them, God opens the blessing into your life. So anyways, that's, I don't know why I'm saying that, but somebody needs to hear that, amen? Go to Luke chapter 1 with me. What a wonderful time that we had in the presence of the Lord last 2 days. How many of you were at the Set Free conference? Okay, majority, wonderful. And the rest, I hope that you already have been set free, so you just stayed back home and watched online or just enjoyed the freedom that you've received from the Lord, right? And I was gonna, I said, those of you that were there yesterday or day before yesterday, I said I'm gonna be talking about demonic emotions and how to deal with them, but I felt something different from the Lord, and I asked Pastor Tom if I could talk about something else to encourage you with today. I believe that you have a strong teaching and strong ministry in that area in your church, spearheaded by your pastors and Pastor Katie, and that you guys have a strong revelation. And I believe that it's in this area, when we travel, and even the churches that do deliverance ministry, this area lacks. And oftentimes we teach on that, but you guys have good, solid teaching and ministry. And seen many people yesterday, they got set free, got healed from emotional wounds and recognized the triggers. You should be thankful to God for that revelation and the people in your church that are able to minister in that area so that you can be free from those demonic influences and triggers in the area of your emotion. Amen. So today I just want to encourage you from the Word of God and kind of build on that and bring something in and bring a value to the church. You know, we are pastors, one of the pastors at the church, and we bleed church. We care for the church. You know, there are people that are evangelists or that just travel around and they're called to come bring fire and just do a good ministry, and that's awesome when you do that. And then they leave, and then you're back to the church, right? With us, we're a bit different. Like, even the conversation we have, it's always about the church. It's all about how we can build the church, how we can build a team. What do you guys do? What do we do? Learning from each other, because we believe in the body of Christ. And today, that's kind of what the message is going to be about. It's about being in the church. And my title of my message is, Your Breakthrough is in the House. Okay? Your breakthrough is in the house. So if you believe in taking notes, take notes. We're going to go to Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through verse 15. We're just going to be cherry picking some verses. Somebody said that the dull pencil is better than a sharp memory. So notes takers are history makers. So, yeah. Verse 5, Luke chapter 1. 6, sorry. We'll start with 6. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive and they were very old. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple. for this order of duty of the week. So was the custom of the priest. He was chosen by a lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to burn incense. While the incense was burning, the great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, I'm just reading quickly. I just want to focus on a few verses, but to give you a story. Angel of the Lord appeared to him standing right, the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. When the angel of the Lord said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son. You will name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." And verse 15, "For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord." Hallelujah. Amen. What a wonderful story of redemption, healing, gladness, joy, restoration. And I think there's people in this room and all of us to some extent, we all have these areas in our life that we believe in God for. And it's been an extended period of time that we've been praying, we've been fasting, we've been doing all the right things, we've been confessing, we've been renewing our mind, we went through inner healing, some of our soul wounds got healed, and we thought, well, when I get there, when I get past this, when I get through this, the breakthrough surely will come, and we'll just, you know, I'll be showered with God's blessing. I'm going to get a breakthrough in my finances, breakthrough in the business. I'm going to get breakthrough in this. And but sometimes in certain areas of our life, there's just a delay. There's just a prolonging, and it takes time. And sometimes it takes so much time that the dream dies, that the idea dies, that the hope dies in this area, or sometimes honestly just people, it dies, you know, everything dies, their faith dies completely. And today I just kind of want to look through this passage of scripture that we read and to encourage us to build our faith and to revive our hope and belief, okay? So first thing, you can write it down. You can be righteous, but in reproach. We see in verse 6, it says this, "They were righteous in God's eyes, carefully to obey the Lord's commandments and regulation, yet they had no children." They were righteous, but yet they were in reproach. And the context of the scripture and the culture that you have to understand, you know, not having children for that time in that culture was very shameful. There was sort of a sole role of a woman in that day and age is to provide her husband children, because children were labor force, they were help, they were it was their glory, it was the blessing of the Lord. Not having children was viewed as a curse, something wrong with you, maybe you've done something, something of that sort. And here is the guy who loves the Lord. Bible says he's righteous in God's eyes, not in people's eyes. There's the Spirit of God saying, through the scripture, through Luke, said he was righteous in God's eyes. Because it's one thing to appear righteous before man and appear to do the right things, but in private, but innerly, you know, inside of us, we have broken life, we have broken mindsets, we are not devoted to the Lord. But Bible says here he was devoted to God. He was righteous in God's eyes. And he was carefully to do everything he needed. He came to prayers. He came to night prayers, to morning prayers. He fasted. He declared. He stomped his foot 7 times and declared that he turned around 7 times and prophesied. But nothing happened. He claimed it. He grabbed it. He blabbed it. And just all the things that, all the tricks in the book that you can think of. And yet he was still childless. And I want to encourage those people that you feel like maybe in certain areas, you know, you're serving God, you love the Lord, You're dealing with the things that the Lord shows it to you, shows and exposes in your life. You're being faithful. You're not perfect, which nobody is, but you love the Lord and you serve the Lord. You carefully to obey His principles, His commands. You carefully to obey His voice, but there are things in your life that is just dead, not functioning, not working. There are things that you're waiting, you're praying. You see your neighbor having a child and rejoicing, and they're not even serving the Lord. You see your neighbor on the right that is aborting the promise that you are waiting for, and they're not even serving the Lord, and you're here crying out to the Lord, asking the Lord, what's wrong with me? And then sometimes what happens is, especially in a ministry like ours, you know, we believe that there is a root cause for every single thing, you know. But sometimes there are things, they're just held back by the Lord Himself. And I'm not saying that your situation has no root cause and no, you don't need deliverance prayer for their healing or this and that. Oftentimes there is the case. I find 95% of the time there is the case. Sometimes there's principles that are involved that you got to do, the renewing of the mind, you know, principles of tithing, principles of giving, principles of honor, principle of humility, all of these things. And sometimes the Lord works with us and takes it, and as He works and breaks us, as He molds us into His image, you know, He begins to open new doors and opportunities and blessings into our life. But there are areas that you've done all that you can. And Bible says that at that moment, all you got to do is just stand and wait on the Lord. And that's the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. They're serving the Lord. They love the Lord. And then the problem sometimes that we find ourselves when we find in this particular situation, we begin to start digging for roots and sins in our life. And we become like these disciples. Lord, who sinned, him or his parents, that he is blind? And you begin to start, if you're not careful, you can allow this sort of mindset to settle in your life. Lord, what am I doing wrong? You know, my friend got pregnant and they have children. They're already on the third child and we're still believing to have our first one. Lord, my friend is doing crooked things and my neighbor's doing crooked things in business and he's prospering, he's moving forward. And here I am, I'm tithing, I'm being obedient when tell me to bless this person, that person, and this, that. And I am struggling in my finances, or my finances are just slowly increasing and these guys are just skyrocketing, right? You know, and there's these things, and oftentimes that if we're not careful, we could allow this sort of mindset or approach that disciples said, Lord, well, who sinned? Disciples were, you know, disciples cut on really quick. There's a root cause to every problem. And I feel like, you know, in the ministries like ours, you know, when we deal oftentimes with root causes, and there are, I'm saying like 95%, maybe even 98% of the time, that is the case. There is the case that, you know, you got to deal with generational curses. You got to deal with emotional wounds. You got to establish proper principles in your life. God begins to deal with your character, to establish your character before He blesses you so you can sustain the blessing, right? And, but in this case, it wasn't the case. And I love how Jesus answered His disciples. He said, listen, it's not the mother, the father, it's not him. It's so that the glory of God could be revealed through this case. And that's, I think, the proper way of coming and seeing and approaching these areas in our life, these moments in our life when things get prolonged. You know, when we ask the Lord, is there anything that you want to expose? Is there anything that you want to deal with? And when we quiet our heart, we sit there, and honestly, there's nothing. Don't go digging bones out in your backyard. You know what I mean? You know how dogs go, they hide the bones and they go dig for them? You know, don't go out trying to find a fault. Don't go out trying to find a root. Just learn to trust God in this season. Learn to walk with God in that season. Learn to still serve God despite of your reproach. Learn to still be faithful in the temple. And so that's my first thing, is that it is possible for you to do all the right things. It is possible to be righteous in that area or in your life, but still experience reproach. Being righteous does not exclude you from suffering in life. That's why God says that, scripture escaped my mind. But many are the afflictions, there you go. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. So there are afflictions. We're not exempt from, suffering and pain. Right now we're heavily involved in a relief in Ukraine during that war. And we're specifically, strategically working with pastors and ministries in Ukraine that are helping people there. And there are many pastors are dying because they're going to the front lines rescuing people. Many leaders are dying. Some of our friends have died there. They got shot, they got killed, and it's you know, and they claim the protection of the Lord. They pray the covering of the blood. We pray for them. We have an intercession team specifically dedicated right now that's praying for that thing. Yet they've passed away. Another pastor that was evacuating people for almost 2 months now, and he literally he left his family. He was evacuating other children, specifically orphanages, first before he evacuated his family, and sort of kind of like the last leg of evacuation, he was evacuating his family. And when he was evacuating his family along with a few other children that was left, they got shut up. His 2-year-old, his 5-year-old, and his wife died on the scene. His leg got blown out, and the rest of the children in the car died. That's life. That's suffering. And in the charismatic world, we like to paint the, you know, beautiful picture. If you do this, 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 if you proclaim, if you confess, nothing bad will happen. But the reality of life is that we do go through tribulations. We do go through suffering. That's why David in Psalm 23 says that though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. So I want you to have this mindset that regardless of what happens in my life, regardless of whether I get blessed, regardless whether I get my full freedom, regardless whether I get my full healing, I like how T.B. Joshua says, whether he heals me or not, he's still my healer. Whether he delivers me or not, he's still my deliverer. And that's our confession. Yes, we confess that. And we love God. We serve God. We serve his people. Not because of what we get from him, but because he has already given us all that we need. Because he already loved us. And we do it out of the response of love toward God. We serve him and we serve his people. So you can be righteous, but in reproach. Number two we see in this place, from this scripture, is that Zechariah, he does not leave God's house. He does not leave his servanthood. He does not leave his service to the Lord and service to God's people. Oftentimes when people get stuck in this situation and they did everything that they were commanded to do, the things that they knew to do, they prayed all the prayers they could pray, discouragement settles in, and there comes this feeling like, well, how can I serve God? How can I pray for healing when I'm still sick in my body? How can I pray for breakthrough for somebody when I'm still struggling with debt, I'm still struggling with finances? You know, how I can pray for somebody to conceive when I don't have a child? How can I serve God when there's unanswered things in my life and unanswered prayers in my life? Oftentimes people get discouraged and they leave the church. They leave the ministry. They leave, you know, how can I be praying for salvation of somebody else's kids when my kids are in the world. They're not serving God. They're addicted to substances and different things. My marriage is struggling. How can I do that when I, you know? And so oftentimes people just get discouraged and people leave ministry, leave serving, or even worse, they leave the church entirely. And I don't know where you're at in life today. I don't know, you know, what season and what you're going through, but I want to tell you is that don't leave the house of God. Don't abandon the house of God. And maybe you're watching right now online and you just either stumbled on this broadcast or maybe you find yourself in this place where, you know, you just don't feel like coming to the house of God. You just don't feel like coming to church because of disappointment in life, because of unanswered prayers, and because of just like, yeah. I want to tell you that your breakthrough is in the house of God. Your blessing is in the house of God. Don't leave the house of God. And there is a second category of people. You maybe did not leave the house of God physically, but you left emotionally. Like, you just became, you know, you grew up Christian maybe. It's kind of like already ingrained in your DNA. Well, Sunday I go to church. Okay. You're here physically, but mentally you're somewhere else. Your heart is not in the house of God. Your heart is not in serving. And today, the Lord is calling you back. You serve God not because of what He can do for you. You serve God because He redeemed you, He saved you, He loves you. And as a response to that, you committed your life to Him. Everything else outside of salvation is a bonus to us. God doesn't owe to give us anything. He doesn't. That's because you claim it, proclaim it, just because you prophesy it, He doesn't owe it to you. He gives it to us because of His mercy and grace and because He's a loving and good Father. But He doesn't owe it to us. And so we serve God because we love Him. We serve God because of the abundance of His love in our heart, and that abundance of love spills over and we love people through it. And so whatever you're going through in life, whatever you're passing through, whatever issues you're going through, I encourage you and I implore you and I beseech you by the mercies of the living God, don't leave your service to God. Don't abandon your calling. Don't abandon the house of God physically and emotionally. Be engaged. Serve the Lord. Amen. 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 The third thing that I see from the scripture that I read is that in verse 13, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zacharias. God has heard your prayer." Write this down. Unable becomes able through prayer. Unable becomes able through prayer. We don't pray for the sake of praying. We don't pray until we don't feel like praying or we get discouraged. We pray until we see the answer come. I know it's like kindergarten basics of Christianity, but we need to be reminded of that. Jesus, when He talked about that, about prayer, most often He tied prayer to fervency and to perseverance. If you look through the parables that followed prayer, He always tied it to perseverance and fervency. And there's a reason why scripture says that the fervent prayer of the righteous, in some translations, forceful prayer, avails much. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of the righteous man is able to accomplish much. James 5:16, different translation. So we don't stop because we got disappointed. We don't stop because the time has gone. We don't stop because it became totally impossible at this point. We continue to pray until prayer is answered. Oftentimes, I see this picture of prayer when I was praying to the Lord. As oftentimes what happens is that we pray, the Lord dispatches an angel to come. And the angel that is carrying our answer sometimes encounters certain resistance, certain things. We see that through book of Daniel, right? Bible says that the moment you start praying, the angel was dispatched. The prayer was dispatched. And sometimes there's things, there's principalities, there's power. Sometimes there's certain things that our angel, the Lord's angel that's coming with our prayer, the answer to our prayer, has to fight his way through or come through. And then we pray and nothing came. First, second, third week. And then we leave the place of waiting. The answers come. But we're not there to receive it. We're not there to possess it. And so we pray until we receive the answer. We see that Zacharias, he, despite of the reproach, despite of the shame, despite of the fact that he committed all of his life of servanthood, of serving the Lord, loving him, serving him, serving his people, doing all the commandments and regulation, being faithful to that day in and day out. He said, look, if I'm going to be in reproach, I'd rather be in reproach in the house of God. Because being in reproach in the house of God, there is a chance that the angel of the Lord will come. There is a chance that the breakthrough will come. I just want to make sure that I am in the house of God to receive it. I want to make sure that I'm positioned in prayer, in a heart posture, in my servanthood, in a place where God answer when it comes, it'll find me. And I want to encourage you today, and tell you that the answer is coming. The Lord is coming. The angels of the Lord is coming to your aid. You will bear a child. You will bear the promise. The Lord will accomplish his purposes through you. And I want to tell you, the harder it is and the longer it takes, the bigger blessing that comes. Verse 15 says this, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. I see this as a, which is brings me to point number four, generational blessing for the life of faithfulness. You know, there are blessings in life that just come and they bless you personally. They just bless you in the moment. But there are blessings that are generational. There are blessings that are generational. And I believe that generational blessings, they are conditional in a sense. They are tied to the life of faithfulness, to the life of devotion. We see that in the story of Abraham. Go walk before me, you know. And he says, and I will bless you and the generations to come. There are things in life that the Lord just releases, bam, you have it. You sometimes have it for a season. Sometimes you have it for the moment. But there are things that you don't just get with one prayer, with one love laying on the hands. An evangelist comes, a prophet comes, and just pow, 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 pow. And then, you know. There are things that you get in life. There are blessings that you receive from the Lord, from the lifetime of faithfulness, lifetime of walking with the Lord, lifetime of devotion, lifetime of commitment, lifetime of serving, despite whether you have a church of thousands or you have a church of 50 Lord, I serve you fully. Whether you're sitting in front of five people or you're sitting in the front of 5,000, Lord, I'm doing it for you and because of you. And sometimes these kind of things, Lord, tests you. And the testing is time. And he wants to see how is our service to God, is it based on the time? Well, I've been in church for 5 years, but my life is not moving forward. I feel like I'm stuck. Okay. That's okay. You're not serving God because you gave him times for 5 years. Lord, I gave you. And sometimes we hear these testimonies. I came and I told God, I'm giving you 3 days. And if you do this, and then the Lord comes and shows up, and we're like, oh yeah, okay, I'm going to take what he did. And Lord, I give you 3 weeks. If this breakthrough doesn't come, and the Lord says, well, first of all, who are you to tell me? You're not my boss. I'm your boss. And that's not the way things work. Okay. Now, there are things that the Lord leads us to do, and we do it, and it's prophetic, and it's instructions from the Lord. But sometimes we take somebody else's prophetic word and prophetic instruction, and we're like, okay, well, it worked for them, as if God had a candy machine. You put a dollar and you push a button, and that thing slides down, and you're like, yay, you know, dollar and a half gets you a bag of chips or something like that. That's not the way God works. He's not a machine. He's not a principle. He is a person that works through principles, right? And so that's my message today. Serve the Lord with full heart. And the beauty is that the blessing that was birthed out of Zechariah and Elizabeth was not just a child. It was a prophet. You know, sometimes in these areas that we struggle the most, we get tested the most, God is not just preparing a child, an ordinary child. He's preparing a prophet. And Jesus said, the greatest prophet. The greatest prophet. You know, I look in my life and I look what the Lord is doing in my life and how he's leading me and the blessings that we're experiencing in our ministry, in our personal life. You know, I wish I could stand here and say like, hey, I did all these principles and all these things. I did the renewal of the mind, the healing of the soul, deliverance and this and that. And the Lord did all of these things. And today I'm a byproduct of all these steps that I took. But unfortunately, I can't say that. I can't say that. I look at my father's life. I look at my grandfather's life. And I see their devoted life to the Lord. And I know I'm a byproduct of them. I know that my blessing today. And I look at my life in my early teen years and then late teen years. And I'm like, man, I really tried to mess up. Like, I really was testing God. But he kept me. And I look back, I'm like, that's not of my own doing. That's not of my own doing. You know, I look at my dad's life, a lifetime of commitment of serving him and, you know, going to mission trips and just establishing churches, working tirelessly, you know, being faithful. Sometimes there are these accusations that came up that would completely false, trying to bring him down, trying to bring his name down. And despite of all the stuff, seeing the pain in his heart during these seasons and process and watching the struggles and with finances and other things and just continually to serve God, living with a family of 6 children, you know, for in a mission field with $100 budget, you know, even for Russia, that's super low, okay? And not only with that, half of that money was going back to church to support the people. And there were moments and times, I remember like for months, all we had was just spaghetti that somebody donated, we didn't even have butter to make it not stick. So we had to eat the faster before it's like, and that's it. That's all we had, just tea and spaghetti that was donated to us for months. And I look back, still serving people, still having a bunch of people over our house, feeding that spaghetti that was for the family to the other people, having a drug addicted people that are recovering and having withdrawals. And if you've had experience with some of that, you know what that means. Moments I remember, like, we didn't have much, but some of those people that were staying in our house would rob us at night and would take out everything that they could sell, anything they could pawn. I mean, pots and pans and forks, like, that's all. I mean, we didn't even have anything. Like, that's all we had. We had one cologne for the entire family, so we smell good before we go out, you know, minister. And that got stolen. You know? But continue to serve God. Continue to be faithful. And continue just day in and day out being committed. I look at my grandfather. He was a simple man. Had 16 children, all for one marriage. And just a devoted guy, a farmer. You know, and when he was the first one to acquire a vehicle in his village. He wasn't a minister. He wasn't preaching the gospel, but he loved the Lord. It's like, okay, so when he was buying a vehicle, and the story that I was told, he was looking for a larger vehicle specifically so he could take people from the area that he lived in to the church. Because that was his way of serving the Lord. And I remember this, I was already old enough, I can recall those memories. Before the church starts, church was staying 10 o'clock. From 7:30 or 8 in the morning, he's already going around collecting people, anybody that wants to go to church, to take it to church. And then we were the last ones that we would get in the bus to go to church, to be there at 10 o'clock. And then after the church, he would be the first one to drop us off and then go back for another hour, hour and a half with his own gas, his own vehicle, dropping people off different places, different parts, so that people, those that had to walk far or those that knew people, believers that he'd bring in. And so I look back at my life and I look at that and I say, today what I have and what the Lord is promised me and where he's taken me, I know that's not of my own doing. I actually was running away from ministry. I actually didn't want to do anything with the ministry. I was actually trying really hard in my teen years to screw it up. And thank God for deliverance power. And so the Lord delivered me and set me back on a path. And he said, listen, I'm doing this not because you're good. It's because I promised these guys, okay? I'll do whatever it takes to get you back on the track. But that's the generational blessing. Amen. For the life of faithfulness. I want to encourage some of you. Some of you have been serving the Lord a long time. Don't be discouraged. Understand that the Lord has prepared a generational blessing. Some of it you will see with your own eyes and your children. Some of your children will prosper beyond what you've prospered. Some of your children will be in the ministry and the Lord is going to be using them so mightily that you haven't experienced yourself because you've been faithful to the Lord. Don't always aim short term. Don't always shoot for tomorrow's blessing. I need to pay that bill. Shoot for a generational blessing. And a generational blessing is tied to the life of faithfulness and serving the Lord. Have you received something this morning? Come on. If we can have maybe worship team or somebody on the piano to come up, make it more romantic. It's always romantic in the presence of the Lord. Amen. But what I want to do today is I want to pray for people that maybe you've grown discouraged in the area of your life. Maybe you've grown disappointed, or maybe even perhaps you even gave up on a dream, on a goal, on a vision, on a prophecy that you received. It just seems like it's way past due. Elizabeth, you are way past the barren age. Nothing's going to come out of it. But you're still here. You're still here. And the Lord wants to honor you today. And we just want to minister to you, pray for you, love on you, release the Father's love. With that, you will receive hope again. You will receive encouragement again. And some of you need to pick back your dream. Some of you need to go back into your prayer closet and start praying for that again, whatever that is. No, the Lord did not forget you. The Lord did not abandon you. No, the Lord did not hear your prayer. He heard it. He knows it. He sees it. And He wants to honor you. And He wants to honor not just you, but your future generation. Some of you are praying, the Lord, save my child. The Lord knows. The Lord sees them. I've seen parents, a good friend of mine, Roman Trachuk, his mom was just loved people, served the Lord. Whatever she could do at church, whether it's kitchen, whether it's greeting, whatever it is. And she was a prayer warrior. She kept praying for him. And he was a bad boy, strung up on drugs, running gangs and all this stuff. There was no hope for him. That's how bad it was, like humanly speaking. And she passed away, not seeing him saved. And when she passed away, a few months later, God just radically encounters him, saves him, sets him free. He goes, turns himself into jail because he has a bunch of understanding warrants. In jail, God continues to do his work. He just starts preaching in jail. The whole entire jail gets saved. He gets out for the good behavior. He becomes an evangelist, and today he's traveling all around the world preaching the gospel. And God is using him mightily, mightily. A lifetime, a generational blessing for the lifetime of faithfulness. So let's get up on our feet. I don't want you to be short-sighted, because oftentimes we have tendency to do that. Shoot for a big picture. Shoot for a generational blessing. Ask the Lord. Don't just ask the Lord for yourself. Ask the Lord for your children and your children's children, that they serve the Lord, that they are passionate for the Lord, that they are used by God in a mighty way, far bigger, greater, and further than you can have gone, that they will carry out your legacy. God always thinks generations. Anytime He blessed somebody that honored the Lord, and anytime God blessed somebody, He always blessed generationally. Always blessed generationally, because you know, I never understood these things about, like, when I read through Old Testament, anytime somebody pleased God and God began to bless them, He always blessed them generationally. And that did not stand out to me at all until I became a father. And I said, Lord, You can skip me, but bless my children. And that's why the Lord blesses us generationally when we serve Him faithfully. So now if the ministry team can come to the front. And those of you that are discouraged, those of you that are disappointed, those of you that just need encouragement and prayer, even if you're on a ministry team, but you need ministry, let us minister to you. You can come to the front and say, you know, I just want this prayer. I want this encouragement. I want to be revived in my spirit again. I want to burn for the Lord again. I want that fire on my altar to be rekindled again. I want that disappointment and discouragement to leave my heart, my body. And I want to serve the Lord to the fullest, regardless whether I see what I'm praying for or not. I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to continue to believe the Lord. And I'm going to continue to give my all to Him. So as we worship, or as the music playing around, we're going to minister and serve to those people. Feel free to come and receive prayer. Father, I pray for your people right now. Those of you that don't need time of ministry up front, why don't you begin to pray for your family, for your children. Begin to dedicate them to the Lord. This is a time to right now to pray for them. The Lord wants to do greater things. He always goes from glory to glory, from grace to grace. And He wants to do that with your family and with your children. If you have your children with you here, just lay your hands on them and pray for them. Bless them. Oh, You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. Lord, do miracles in people's life right now. Only you can do it, Lord. Father, I speak to the destinies that have been locked for a long time. Lord, I pray for the prayers, God, that have been petitioned for a long time, but there's been no answers. Right now, I pray for your miracle. I pray for your touch. I pray, God, that you will unlock today something in their life. In Jesus' name. I pray, God, for those that have been barren in certain areas in their life. I pray, God, that their womb would be unlocked this morning. In Jesus' name. And that they will be released into their life and of destiny. That they will birth the John for you, God. That they will birth the greatest thing that is yet to come in their life. In Jesus' name. Oh, you're the God that does miracles today. And there is no one else like you.